Thank you for tuning in for this special edition of the Daily's Holiday League podcast. My name is Sean Harding, a journalism major and photojournalist here at the University of Washington.
I'm Michael Bloom, writer for the Daily and co-host of the podcast.
We're searching far and wide to learn about how the winter holidays are celebrated all around the world. On our third episode, we're going to discuss how the winter holidays are celebrated in the Middle East and Mexico. We gather material from a wide variety of sources online from the University of Washington libraries.
As can be surmised by previous podcasts, the concept of time around the world is an interesting one that intricately relates to holiday celebrations. With the great distance between regions and their relative isolation from each other, it is understandable that so many unique calendars exist around the world. Today we will discuss yet another calendar, the Islamic lunar calendar, and how that relates to Islamic traditions. The International Business Times reports that there are various different ways for calculating the tabular Islamic calendar, the Hijri calendar. This results in a number of Islamic countries celebrating the new year on different days, normally with a difference of 1 or 2 days. The first Islamic calendar, beginning in 622 AD, marks the emigration of Muhammad from Mecca to Medina, known as the Hijra. A day in the Islamic calendar is defined as beginning at sunset. The topic of time in general is a fascinating subject to examine within Islamic countries for numerous regions. In a discussion with faculty from the University of Washington's New Book Digital Text Collective Archive Project, which preserves 20th century texts from the Ottoman Empire, I learned that even the notion of the Islamic day is different from the Gregorian concept. As you might recall, the Gregorian calendar and the Gregorian day are what is used in the West. The Islamic day may begin at sunset, but it is always using a 12-hour cycle from sunset to sunrise and from sunrise to sunset. What this means is that not only is the length of an hour inconsistent between different days, but the length of an hour is even inconsistent within the same 24-hour cycle. Given that very few people went out at night in the times when this particular practice was set, this way of keeping time made sense and was also more practical than the way that we do it in the West. It is also interesting to note that the Islamic year has roughly 354 days despite its 12 months, and that today we are in the year 1439 AH, according to the Hijra calendar. Due to this, Islamic holidays tend to vary from year to year when compared with our Western Gregorian calendar. Indeed, as the calendar is completely lunar, it does not have any relation to the changing of the seasons, the winter solstice, or something similar. Therefore, I will describe one or two of the official Islamic feast eid days that fall close to our winter season this year and the next year, as well as describing some other holidays that happen to fall close to the time we're describing. Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice, began this year on Friday, September 1st, and begins next year on August the 24th in the Gregorian calendar, or the 10th day of the 12th month in the Dhu al-Hijjah in the Islamic calendar. It coincides with the end of a potentially long pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia called the Hajj, and represents a time to remember the sacrifice of the prophet Ibrahim. I will quote a retelling from CNN of the story of Ibrahim. Eid al-Adha remembers when Allah, or God, tested the faith of the prophet Ibrahim by asking him to sacrifice his only son as an act of obedience. Just as Ibrahim was about to sacrifice his son, Allah stopped him and gave him a sheep to kill instead. CNN also reports that a version of this story is written in the Christian Bible, Ibrahim's name instead being Abraham. One way in which Muslims celebrate Adha, or sacrifice, during this time is by killing sheep and distributing the meat to the poor. This also coincides with donations to charities, exchanging gifts with family, and visiting with family and community members during feasts. This often represents the most dangerous time for those making the aforementioned pilgrimage to Mecca, as people have died or been wounded from stones thrown before the Jamarat pillars, which symbolize the devil during the Eid al-Adha. This practice is a tradition celebrated every year in the Islamic calendar. Another major Islamic holiday, Maulid, occurs on the 12th or 17th day of the third month of the Islamic calendar, depending upon the denomination of Islam. This year, this date corresponded to Friday, December 1st in the Gregorian calendar. This date represents the birthday celebration of the Prophet Muhammad. The Egypt Today reports that in Egypt on Maulid, many Egyptian Muslims gather in mosques to recite the Quran and listen to stories and poetry praising Prophet Muhammad and his values, accomplishments, and teachings. Meanwhile, others are spread throughout the streets to distribute food to the poor, following the example of the Prophet. Many families commemorate the event by sitting at home together, sharing a meal, and eating Maulid sweets for dessert while watching religious movies and programs on TV. It is worth noting that while some Islamic countries like Egypt celebrate Maulid as a public holiday, others, like Saudi Arabia, forbid celebration of Maulid. This mainly stems from differing interpretations of the Quran, which is the central religious text of Islam, between different denominations of Islam. Muslim orthodoxy and followers of Wahhabi Islam tend to be naysayers of Maulid, while followers of Sufi Islam tend to advocate for it. These are some of the major holidays that the Middle East celebrates around this time of the year, on this particular solar year, but it's, again, as I said before, due to the differing time in the lunar calendar, these dates can change every year.
Thank you, Michael. I especially like the part about Adha, where they kill the sheep, but they give the meat to the poor. It's like they have their own little social justice over there. Okay, well, when I was reading up about Mexico, it actually kind of reminded me of how they celebrate Christmas in Germany a little bit, with the exception of there's warm weather. So there is warm and mild weather in Mexico during the Christmas season. They still are in the northern hemisphere, so it is still winter, but it is a lot warmer. Families, they go to the Christmas markets there, and they shop for ornaments and gifts and bling and good things to eat. You know, food hand in hand goes with the holidays over there. They decorate their homes with lilies and evergreens. And then family members, they actually make these designs out of brown paper bags to make lanterns, and they're called farolitos. And you can see those everywhere over there. It's really, really beautiful. I wish I could show you a picture. So they also place a candle inside, and then they light them along the sidewalks or on the windowsills or on the rooftops or on outdoor walls, just anywhere to display the Christmas spirit. Not as just an individual spirit, but it's community celebration over there. They are very big on community in a way that we don't see a lot of places here in North America or in the United States. And I think that's kind of like endearing, and that's something to, you know, hopefully we can take that back for us and start seeing that up here. But yeah, I think the more people that celebrate Christmas, the better.
So what are some of the ways in which, like, community spirit celebrating Christmas is different over there?
Well, like, a lot of it is they have the Christmas markets. Like in Germany, they have open-air markets, and people and vendors, they go out there and they, you know, from all around the community and the town and the hills, like, everybody comes together and they celebrate and eat and call Christmas shopping, and there's booze involved. Whereas here, we like to go to Black Friday and then fight to the death over TV or like the last Xbox or whatever the latest Black Friday deal is. At least that's been my experience. I'm sure there's other there are towns in America or here in Washington that aren't like that. I know actually Leavenworth, like I said in the first podcast, they have their own Christmas market, but by and large, they are a lot more into like open markets. And as far as I know, I'm sure they got Black Friday down there, but I don't think that's even as big of a thing there as it is up here. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I'd imagine that many people here, like my family, probably celebrate Christmas with their family as opposed to, like, the entire community.
Yeah.
So in some respects, maybe it's a more private event.
I mean, that's how we grew up, you know. I think, actually, the one aspect here that Christmas was celebrated as a community event was Christmas lights outside the house, or that was always big, and then we'd always drive around the neighborhood to see. It's kind of like a unspoken competition to see who had the best Christmas lights. But other than that, that was it. Like, maybe with the exception, you'd have like one or two neighbors, you go to their Christmas party. But half the people in my neighborhood, like, we didn't, you know, see or visit on Christmas. So, yeah, I'd say it's less community-driven here and more private. Whereas in Mexico, it's the whole community gets involved in a way that's, I think it's awesome. And I wish we could start to have that same sense of community here more.
Yeah. I think if we were to go around the world and pick some of these traditions to bring here, some of the festivals that I was describing in the Asian podcast seemed very exciting, with like fireworks, kind of like what you were saying with Mexico too. The community markets would be a good addition.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about America is we are a melting pot, and we are able to import all these traditions and cultures. And I think if we saw more of those cultural imports that we have, you just have a better Christmas overall. Yeah, I think the Christmas markets, I think they have them like on a smaller scale, but if we could have more widespread and have the whole community be involved, I think that'd be a great thing. We have a Capitol Hill block party every summer. Why not have a Capitol Hill Christmas block party? I'm just shouting ideas out here. So, also, getting back to Mexico, back on track, the Mexican celebration of Christmas is called Las Posadas, and it begins on December 16th because that's how they do it down there. The ninth evening of Las Posadas is Buena Noche. And if anybody actually speaks Spanish, please don't be offended by my butchering of these names.
What is it again?
Buena Noche.
Podre Noche?
Buena Noche. So yeah, the ninth evening of Las Posadas is Buena Noche, or it's their Christmas Eve. So on that holiday, the children is where the community gets back involved. You have the community leave a procession down to the church, and they place the figure of the baby Jesus, or Christ child, in the nativity scene there. Then everybody goes to midnight mass. So they actually have nativity scenes, but for them, it's a, you know, back to the community. So they don't have the little baby Jesus out there until Christmas Eve. And then the children, they bring the little baby Jesus. They put little baby Jesus in the little baby manger. And then they have Christmas mass. And I think that's a beautiful thing. What do you think, Mike?
I think that all of the traditions around the world are pretty beautiful, especially around the holidays.
Even when they're killing the goat?
Even when they're killing the goat to give to the poor.
Okay. It's kind of like an altruism there, and I think it's, you know, you just got to find the beauty.
Actually, especially when they're killing the goat to give to the poor.
Okay, well, we just found out who you are. Just kidding. Can we
not put that on them?
That concludes our podcast series covering holiday traditions in Germany, Antarctica, Mexico, some of the Eastern Bloc countries, Eastern Asia, and the Middle East. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Sean Harding.
I'm Michael Bloom. To hear more from the Soundbite Network, go to uwpodcast.com.